Something broke in America around 1980, and we're still living in the wreckage. Picture the post-war era. A factory worker could buy a home, send kids to college, and retire comfortably. That worker's grandchildren today? They're drowning in student debt, priced out of housing markets, and wondering if retirement is just a cruel joke their parents got to enjoy. This isn't about nostalgia. It's about a fundamental rewiring of our economic operating system. In the 1980s, we embraced a new religion called shareholder capitalism, where maximizing stock price became the only commandment that mattered. Milton Friedman was its prophet, declaring that executives who considered anything beyond share price were thieves and socialists. Reagan slashed top tax rates from 70% to 28%, tripled the national debt, and promised wealth would trickle down. It didn't. Instead, we got crumbling infrastructure, gutted mental health care, and a productivity compensation split that would define generations. From 1973 to 2014, productivity grew 72%, while worker pay rose just 9%. America kept getting richer, but workers stopped sharing in the prosperity they created. The past 40 years created a stark paradox: unprecedented global prosperity alongside America's hollowing middle class. Extreme poverty worldwide plummeted from 40% to under 10%. Life expectancy rose by a decade. China lifted 750 million from poverty. We doubled world output in one generation, producing as much as all prior human history. Shipping containers revolutionized trade. The internet connected billions. Moore's Law turned phones into supercomputers linked globally. Yet, morning shows devoted more airtime to Jeff Bezos' 3-minute space joyride than to climate change all year. We worship tech innovators as saviors, forgetting that computer chips, the internet, and GPS, Silicon Valley's foundations, were built with tax dollars. Private companies brilliantly commercialized these technologies, but they required millions of hours from thousands of publicly educated workers. We've replaced astronauts and civil rights leaders with billionaires capturing obscene wealth shares. 8 of the world's 10 richest people are current or former American tech CEOs, while 8% of America's drinking water remains unsafe. The gap between CEO and worker pay exploded from 21 to 1 in 1965 to 351 to 1 in 2021, a 1,670% increase that defenders justify by claiming stock-heavy compensation ties pay to performance. But why should bull markets benefit only executives while workers see minimal gains from the productivity they generate? Corporate profits and employee compensation used to rise and fall together. Since the dot-com boom, they've diverged dramatically. Since 1960, corporate profits grew 85-fold compared to compensation's 38-fold increase. We're protecting existing shareholders while destroying opportunities for future innovators. Airlines spent 96% of their free cash flow on share buybacks since 2000, then grabbed $50 billion in taxpayer bailouts when COVID hit. Meanwhile, the poorest 50% of Americans control just 2% of the nation's wealth, while the richest 1% possess nearly a third. If minimum wage had kept pace with productivity, it would be $22.18 per hour instead of $7.25. Housing costs have nearly doubled relative to income. College costs exploded 169%, while young worker earnings rose just 19%. And for the first time in American history, young people are no longer better off than their parents. Someone born in 1940 had a 92% chance of surpassing their parents economically. For millennials born in 1984, it's a coin flip. When Steve Jobs unveiled the iPhone in 2007, he promised it would change everything. He was right, but not in ways we anticipated. Within a decade, our phone time jumped from 3% to 33% of waking hours, with over half spent on social media. Companies like Facebook and Google discovered that enraging content generates the most engagement. Disturbing YouTube videos get 70% more views, lies spread 6 times faster than truth on Twitter, and algorithms systematically refer users to untrustworthy sources. Gen Zers unlock their phones nearly 80 times daily, and 96% won't use the bathroom without them. This addiction fueled an advertising gold rush. Digital ads grew from 1/5 of U.S. advertising in 2011 to 63% today, a nearly $250 billion industry. But journalism paid the price. Newspaper ad revenue collapsed from $38 billion in 2008 to under $9 billion by 2020. As attention spans shrank to 15 seconds or less, news outlets crafted headlines maximizing emotional triggers. Anxiety increases virality by 21%, awe by 30%, and anger, the most powerful emotion, by 34%. Despite violent crime falling since the early 1990s, most Americans believe it's rising. We're not censored by politics, we're censored by algorithms that favor whatever keeps us engaged, enraged, and scrolling. Young men are failing across critical metrics. Boys face twice the suspension rates for identical offenses. Their college enrollment has plummeted to 2/3 that of women, and non-college educated men earn $900,000 less over their lifetimes than graduates. Marriage rates hit an all-time low in 2020, with men in the bottom income third 30% less likely to marry since 1970. Over 2/3 of Americans consider it very important for men to financially support families, yet only 25% of men and 39% of women believe financial security matters for women as partners. Dating apps transformed romance into brutal sorting mechanisms, where attractive people capture most matches, while the majority receive few. Hinge's inequality rivals the world's most unequal economies. Political divides have become social chasms. In 1960, only 1 in 25 parents worried about their child marrying across party lines. By 2018, nearly half of Democratic parents and 1/3 of Republicans expressed such concerns. With fewer pathways to economic security or relationships, 52% of young adults now live with parents, the highest level ever recorded. Bored young men without partners, careers, or community pose risks. 92% of mass violent attackers were male, and over 2/3 were under 35. America remains the preeminent power. Our enterprises dominate global markets. Our R&D spending represents 30% of the world's total, and our defense budget exceeds the next 10 countries combined. Yet our supremacy is declining. China has overtaken us as the primary trading partner for most nations. And when adjusted for purchasing power, China's effective military spending reaches 2/3 of ours. Our massive defense budget couldn't protect against our greatest recent threat, a virus that killed more Americans than all 20th century wars combined. About 60% of citizens in developed nations now believe America used to be a good example of democracy, but no longer is. We're not lost, just adrift. Recent years show promise. Record new business applications, immigrants starting businesses at double the rate of native-born citizens. We must simplify our tax code, rebuild regulatory systems gutted by corporate lobbying, reform Section 230 to address social media's toxic algorithms, and end our status as the world's leading jailer. Nearly 1 in 7 American children lived in poverty in 2019, unacceptable for history's richest nation. Expanding the child tax credit would almost halve child poverty. Reaching landfall requires focused investment in younger Americans, renewed international cooperation, and remembering that above all, we are Americans. The choice is ours. Continue drifting toward the rocks, or chart a course back to shared prosperity.